item 7A, which is the matter of a request of a continuance of the White Cloud Nine Ventures. And we have, I have a letter from John Daniel representing Piedmont Environmental Council. But, John, I guess we'll hear from you first, and then the applicant, who I assume is represented, will be afforded an opportunity to rebut.
Sure. Mr. Commissioner, members of the commission, for your record, John Daniel, Williams Mullen, appearing on behalf of the Piedmont Environmental Council this morning. First, want to extend to you all my condolences on Mr. Palmer's passing. As you all know, he was a friend. We worked on a lot of things over the years, a number of things when he was on this commission. And so, to you all, his sort of governmental family, if you will, my heartfelt condolences on his loss. To the new members, Mr. Erskine and Dr. Neal, congratulations, I guess. As I told Mr. Erskine in the hall, it's probably one of the most fun, most productive, best jobs in government. It's also one of the hardest, and I can't help but comment on the commissioner's comment about pulling teeth. as hard as it is over there, you should stand over here once in a while. So with that, let me thank you very much for the courtesy of hearing me this morning on a continuance. I know it's a bit unusual. I know the normal process here is it's the applicant's prerogative as to whether or not they would like a continuance. So I very much appreciate your hearing me, and I'm going to be brief on these points, but I think they are telling, some more than others, and I'll begin perhaps with the less telling of the my points, which is, unfortunately, I was retained on Saturday of this week in order to come here today to present to you what, as the weekend wore on, became a much more complicated matter than perhaps I had anticipated at the onset. I realize that's my problem, that's not your problem, and in our profession, we sort of take them where we find them, and we do the best we can with what we got. But this is a very complicated matter. Secondly, the joint permit application, the after-the-fact permit application that you have before you is flawed in at least two respects, and I think they're flaws that are remedied and can be fixed and probably were fixed by agency comments. First and foremost, with respect to the requirement in the application that adjacent property owners be notified. On this property, not owned by the Piedmont Environmental Council, but there is a conservation easement between the predecessor in interest to the current owner and Ducks Unlimited under the name of Wetlands America Trust, their holding arm. Those people were not notified of this hearing. They were not listed as an adjacent property owner, and consequently, when they learned of the hearing, thus the scramble began, and in part accounts for the fact that my phone rang returning from the Bar Association meeting over the course of the end of last week. And that may not be in and of itself enough to continue a matter which is, I know, has been postponed on your docket for some time. But let me get to my third point. The third point is this. Because of that conservation easement that I referenced that exists over this property, there is currently pending in the Loudoun County Circuit Court since January of, I think, I think January 18th, but I'm only going on the certificate of service. So I'm not sure exactly when it was filed, but it was on or about January 18th of this year. A lawsuit was filed by Wetlands America Trust versus the applicant in this case to interpret that conservation easement as to whether or not the ancillary activities which are made possible by virtue of the request that's being made of you, in other words, the bridge which is your jurisdiction and which you're being asked to act on today, really is not in any way, shape, or form the Sarah Palin Bridge to Nowhere. This is a bridge which leads to a substantial southern portion of the property where there is proposed significant development. So there's a relationship between that bridge and what ultimately will take place. In point of fact, the lawsuit was brought because once it manifested itself, which was occurring on the other side of the property, and to this day, the bridge is being used. There's no permission from any state government. There's no permission from you all. There was no application filed. But the bridge is being used today, and a parking lot for 200-plus automobiles has been developed on the southern portion of this property, all because the bridge provided access for construction vehicles and for other equipment and machinery to access that property. So that, I think, in my way of thinking, ought to at least pause the activity of this commission until this issue is determined by the Circuit Court of Loudoun County by a judge who's paid, as Mr. Plumlee knows, the big bucks to figure these things out, and who can do what within the bounds of the easement. I am not handling the litigation. I had a brief conversation with counsel for the plaintiff in that matter. I think he provided a letter late yesterday to the commission, which details some of the particular allegations in the lawsuit. I'm happy to provide you the complaint as well as the answer. I haven't studied them. I make no representation as to who's right or wrong. That's for the judge, but that really is my point. This matter is before the judge, and for you all to act on a component of it, which is critical to this process, seems to me premature. Now, since I communicated in correspondence with Jack yesterday on those three points, I want to raise one other. As I was scrambling around and looking at the various incendiary information on this, and your staff was kind enough to provide me with a great piece of their file, in particular agency comments and so forth, I noticed that there was an email from April 17th of 2012, which was a supplementary comment to the agency review process provided by the Department of Historic Resources. The original Historic Resources correspondence indicated, while the application is flawed because it didn't bother to check our database, and there it indicated there were no historic resources in the area, DHR had said there were multiple, and they went to list them from their database in a long report about the significance or what have you of those properties. But the email is really the telling point, and it came after that review. And what the email said was that it basically is saying DHR really doesn't really have any real concerns about this project because any historic resources would have been modified as a result of the creation of a wetland mitigation area. And I'll quote to you, that being the case, DHR would have no additional concerns for this project as any historic properties that may have been located in or around this project were most likely destroyed during the construction of the mitigation bank. Now, maybe because I'm attuned to mitigation banks and so forth, that got my curiosity up. And I want to preface what I'm going to say about this by saying that I haven't field-truthed, if you will, this bank. What I have done, I've gone to the Corus Ribbits site, which is the site, for those of you all may not know it. I don't think RIBIT has anything to do with frog. I'm sure it's a very, very important federal acronym for something, but I have no idea what it is. But it is the site where they list the wetland mitigation banks. And they list this bank as the Cayley Farm, blah, 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 bank. And it's been in existence for some time. In fact, I can tell you how long it's been at the... The part of, if you recall, the way this works is there's a, something called an interagency review team. The interagency review team is a number of state and federal officials who get together and decide whether the bank can do what it's supposed to do and can be certified as a bank, if you will, to issue credits to those who may impact wetlands in some other place within the HUC zone but don't have the ability on site to do that. Now, this bank is the... It was in January of 2008 when the Declaration of Restrictions for this bank was formed. The Declaration of Restrictions is a covenant that runs with the land, which says what can and can't be done on this land. Now, I can show you from on maps, and I, again, if somebody has more information than me, whether the applicant does on this bank or your staff does, I'm happy to hear it. I'm just telling you what I was able to find during the course of basically desktop research on this. But the bank is there. From the maps, it certainly appears that this bridge is located within that bank area. The Declaration of Restrictions brings other people into play, but while the easement may be debatable in the court, and I'll leave that to the plaintiff and the defendant in that matter, what you have here is you have a Declaration of Restrictions, and it runs to the benefit of the Department of Environmental Quality. It runs to the benefit of the United States Army Corps of Engineers, both of whom have an enforceable interest in that. And the DOR, the Declaration of Restrictions, prohibits certain activities on this property, and I can't see where within the language of the DOR, which if we get to it, we can talk about more later, where this activity would be allowed within the bounds of that bank. So, because of those interests, there's 6,000 plus credits that have been sold from this bank. A big credit purchase these days and lasts since 2008 is probably in the 10 to 15 range. So there are a lot of people who have bought credits in this bank who have an interest in that bank. Certainly the developer has an interest in the bank. Certainly the escrow agent, the banker that holds the collateral, would have an interest in this. So my point is there's lots of interest in elements of this property that, in my view, warrant continuing this matter until these things can be fettered out. Those are my points. Should we get to a case in chief, I'm here to do my best with what I understand about that, but I would ask you to seriously consider what I have expressed to you as a basis for what I think would be save all of us some time and energy as we go forward. So I appreciate your patience. I obviously am glad to answer any questions you may have on any of those four points or anything I have referenced to you here this morning.
Questions of Mr. Daniel? Mr. Plumlee?
Mr. Daniel, I understand there's a lawsuit. It's ongoing. What is the request of continuance and length? What are you asking for?
It's a good question, and I've thought about it. And, you know, my client in this matter is not trying to be punitive in any way, shape, or form. My client, and there are people here who are other protestants who are members, I believe, of PEC, you know, who have participated in this area through placement of easements and other things on their property. So their interest is such that it's the global kind of an area. And this bridge has sparked a bit of a firestorm. But to your question, you know, logic would dictate that the continuance would be until the court made a determination as to what was the appropriate activities to be conducted or what could be conducted under the bounds of the conservation easement, which is on the property. I don't know for sure when that matter is settled. I think it's first quarter of 2014, and I don't know whether or not a trial date was referenced in correspondence you received from counsel for the plaintiff in that matter. I realize that's a long time. I realize that investments have been made by the applicant in this matter. I realize that they obviously think that they are proceeding in the best course for their property. So I don't really have a direct answer. I mean, unless somebody has some information contrary to what I have presented with respect to the issue of the potential wetland bank, the wetland bank does exist. It does exist on this property. Whether or not the bridge is precisely in it, it certainly appears from the map. Maybe we do one continuance now, and until that issue can be resolved by your staff and others, and then we come back and talk about it again. I really, you know, logic just tells me that, and here's why I'm...
Can I ask one question that is directed a little bit?
Mr. Pollard.
John, what impact would our permitting the project have upon the litigation?
That's a really good question, and I don't want to answer for plaintiff. But, and I'm not, as you know, I'm not a litigator. Occasionally you all make me go there after we've talked about things, but that's about the only time I go there. My common sense tells me, Mr. Plumlee, that if a court had as an exhibit and evidence in a lawsuit about what could be done on a piece of property, and they had a state agency determination that a bridge was an allowable activity, and that bridge is the link to other activities which the court is going to have to rule on about whether they are permissible or not, I've got to believe that it has some merit. I don't know how much weight, but I believe it gets into the mix, and I don't think it gets into the mix. And I think it could be enough to tilt the scales one way or the other. I don't know. It's pure speculation.
One more follow-up.
I'm not sure I quite understand the subject matter of the deck action that you're talking about. Is it a straight ownership use right at question in the litigation?
It's not a deck action. It is a action in equity for the court to determine whether or not certain activities being undertaken on the property are in concert with or not in concert with the terms of the conservation easement, and they have to do with size of buildings. I mean, I know for a fact the easement limits the size of any structure on the southern portion of this property to 4,500 square feet. I know the proposed action, which has been approved by, Loudoun County, but which originally no permit was sought, and they had to go back to Loudoun County. So, you know, a little bit of a habit of after the fact.
You said you had a copy of the complaint?
I did.
Can we see that?
The same.
Let me get to it.
Entity, White Cloud, has an appeal with the Board of Zoning, Loudoun County Zoning Board of Appeals. I don't know if that's tied.
Let me tell you before I tender it. I have the complaint without the exhibits. The exhibits run some, and Paul and I talked about this, 117 pages, so I don't have them. I have them if you all want them. I have the answer, which was filed, and I will also tender the conservation easement itself, which is the subject of the complaint and the answer. And as I do so, I ask that you...
Now, there's something about this that is also before the Board of Zoning Appeals.
I don't know about that. But maybe we go back to the podium, I don't know about the local zoning. I could ask one of the other protestants or folks who are here whether they know anything about that, if that's something that you all would like to hear about at this time.
Sure. Mr. Kugel?
Just for context, And I'm sure the commissioner will let you speak in a moment for context. When I was looking up to find out when the trial date is for this case that we have before us, Wetlands America Trust, that starts April 7th, and it's set for a four-day jury trial. Okay. Just to clarify the record.
I was off by a month, I guess.
No, not shaking a finger, just putting it in context. And the other thing is, what I wanted to let you know is when I was looking it up, I also found that White Cloud 9 Ventures LP has something before the circuit court on an appeal from, it looks like, the Board of Zoning. So I don't know if you have any idea whether that was related to what we're here about today. I mean, I think the answer is you don't know.
I don't know.
Okay.
But there may be people here who do.
Any other questions? Mr. Sessions?
It sounds like the group that you represent have an issue with land use on the property that's going to be accessed, or is accessed by the bridge. Is that right?
That's right. I mean, every time we come here and every time we have these discussions, it's always neighbors and neighbors. I mean, that's what we do.
But if we're simply, not simply, but if we're to look at the merits of the bridge by itself, are we to look at what the property is to be used for? I heard you say 200 cars. I don't understand.
Well, I fully appreciate your point that you all's jurisdiction is, in the bigger picture of these things, somewhere down here, you know, and 130 square feet of riprap and 35 feet of box culvert and so forth. I get it. The problem is all of that leads to the construction of the bridge. The bridge is the conduit toward other development.
I guess my point is, that the property owner who constructed the bridge, I assume, might have wanted to build a bridge, whether it's for the 200 cars or for a wetlands bank or whatever. I don't see us making a decision on the bridge based on, it sounds like, a zoning issue.
No, it's not a zoning issue. And you're really speaking to my point, because if in the southern portion of the property where the development is ongoing, if the interpretation of the easement by the Loudoun County Circuit Court is that the easement does not allow a 200-plus car parking area and a 6,000-7,000 square foot facility, then the bridge, which, if you see a picture of it, and I could show you one, is a substantial structure. You all could minimize that. We're here under an after-the-fact circumstance. So, you know, whether what was built, was it built for pedestrian access or small vehicle access for quote-unquote agricultural activities, which are clearly authorized under the conservation easement, in which case perhaps it's smaller than what it currently is. But this is a bridge that's built to accommodate construction vehicles and other vehicles to go do activities, which is the subject matter of litigation in the Loudoun County Circuit Court. It has nothing to do with, is it neighbor versus neighbor? It is. You know, but it's not a local zoning issue. I don't know anything about the local zoning case. But you may size this bridge differently. So I think there is a direct correlation between the actions you all are going to take with respect to approval or disapproval of an after-the-fact application for this bridge as to how the bridge may be sized.
But there's no connectivity such as a site plan between the bridge and future development. In other words, showing a...
You can't do the future development without the bridge.
But there's nothing on record showing the connectivity between the bridge and a future development.
I don't have an answer to that, but I've got to believe that whatever plan... That's just part of the problem that apparently my clients have had when they try to understand this, and these are not unsophisticated people. These people understand development. They understand property rights. They understand what they've done with their own property. But in every attempt to try to be collegial, to try to understand what was going on here, and to try to appreciate what it was, the answer has apparently been, and it's hearsay to me, so I'll tell you that that's the case, is that I'm doing agricultural activities. And why the term agricultural activities? The term agricultural activities because that's what's clearly authorized under the easement. Truth of fact, we're talking about a substantial, this is a farm winery and a creamery, whatever that is. These are substantial activities. And if you look at look at the purpose, look on page 5, I think, the purpose of the easement, read it. And you can see why this is not a slam dunk in any event, with respect to either party, either the defense of or the prosecution of the lawsuit. It's some tough issues for the judge. And I think those decisions will have bearing on what you all may do with respect to the bridge, Mr. Sessions, because of what size may be appropriate. Remember, we're talking about you have to approve this. You're putting on your public trust hat and dealing with the criteria in 28.212.05. And so when we're talking about that public resource and the fiduciary responsibility to the public vis-a-vis this commission, size matters.
Is your client against the bridge, or what could be built on the other side of the bridge?
I don't think my client would separate the two.
Any other questions? Mr. Plumley.
John, is the request to maintain the status quo, is the bridge built?
The bridge is built.
So
the bridge is being used today. With no permit, no approval from you all, it's being used today. It's carrying equipment, it's carrying construction, it's carrying concrete, it's building a parking lot. The bridge is being used to that. And I'm sorry, I get excited about that, but, I've been where you all are, and I find that absolutely egregious.
Well, in that regard, the request is not asking us to take action that would modify this bridge at this point. The request is to continue this beyond the court date, which is set for
April 7th
of 2014.
Yes, sir.
To determine the legal rights of the parties involved, and the request is that we not take action until after that time. But the bridge is there and being used, and that is not affected by the continuance.
Well, It should be. I don't see how. I mean, maybe you all can explain this to me. But I don't see how an individual can go out here. I mean, you just heard a case. This was, and Mr. Erskine got right to it. I mean, this is a guy sitting up there in General Assembly breaking the laws and didn't know what the law was. But I don't see how an individual, given everything you all do through your guidelines and the websites and everything this staff does in order to make sure people understand their rights and responsibilities with respect to something within your jurisdiction, can build a bridge. I mean, I know what the excuse is, but can build a bridge and continue to use that bridge without benefit of permit, without benefit of the review under 28.1205, without benefit of you all sitting in judgment on the criteria in 1205, and how that bridge can continue to allow that bridge to be built. My request would be that you continue it, and we're getting beyond the continuance, I think, but the request would be that the bridge be posted, that until it is approved and permitted, it can't be used. It's no different to me than if I run a discharge pipe off the back of my property into state waters, and then I go to the water board and say, "Yeah, guys, sorry. Can I keep doing it till you all decide?" I've got 1,000 clients. Well, not 1,000. I wish I did, but I've got multiple clients, who face these kind of issues. And when you do your due diligence, and when you're careful, and when you're scrutinous about what it is you're supposed to do before you can take advantage of and benefit of public resources, you ought to check.
Right. So Mr. Daniel, so I'm clear here. So you're asking not only for continuance, but I'm not a lawyer, but a cease and desist of use of said bridge.
Let me have Mr. Kugelman comment on that latter issue as to whether the commission even has the authority to
do that,
to stop use of a structure.
Overstate bond.
Right. Looking at, it's council's view that looking at the commission's jurisdiction under under Chapter 12 of Title 28.2 of the Virginia Code, what the commission's jurisdiction there is to permit use, trespass, encroach on or over state-owned bottom from 28.2-1203. The commission has also routinely restricted and can make distinctions about use with respect to commercial and non-commercial use with respect to piers. That's inherent in our basic law. And as I said before, also the commission does not have any common law jurisdiction. Its authority is a creature entirely of statute. With that, and with the information I have before me, it is my view that the commission does not have the jurisdiction to restrict the bridges, how the bridge is used.
But can it restrict the bridge?
It could absolutely. The commission has the authority to say to the applicant, you do not have the authority of the commission to use the bottom land or encroach over it.
Right.
And therefore, you must remove the bridge.
But we can't.
We can't do that without a hearing.
Use of the bridge. We cannot stop the use of the bridge during a continuance before a permit has even been issued.
Unless Mr. Daniel can point me to something specifically, I don't think that the commission has that authority. It could now, if I may, and I apologize, John.
No.
The commission may, in its collective wisdom, decide that to charge the applicant with not using the bridge in lieu of ordering it removed until the court proceeding is over, or restricting it that way if there's an agreement there. Perhaps that would be a way to approach it. But as far as just...
Well, you could take action for an injunction, but I don't see that happening. I haven't seen anywhere in the documentation anybody's asked the court to prevent us from taking any action pending the suit. But if the request, I think it's more favorable to entertain a request to stay, to keep the status quo while the lawsuit is pending, as opposed to take action which harms either party until the suit is resolved by the court of law. And I don't think it, you know, if we took the extraordinary step of saying, okay, you've built this thing, now you can't use it, without holding a hearing and hearing everything out, I think that would be harming the interests of the current applicant without having the hearing.
One question. I agree with what you said. Is the applicant here to speak?
We're going to hear from them next.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was wondering.
Unless there are further questions for Mr. Daniel, we'll hear from the applicant.
May I just answer something real
quick?
Just to clarify, and I agree with Mr. Plumlee, the question to me was whether the commission had the authority to do it. I was not speaking to whether they could do it in its current posture. Mr. Plumlee is exactly right. There's some process due that the commission would have to entertain before making that decision.
I wonder if could I just exchange with Mr. Kugelman for a moment?
All right.
It's up to Mr. Kugelman, I guess.
That'd be fine, sir.
I respect your position, but here's where I get a little bit thrown off. If this is the commission that has the power to authorize this bridge, you'd agree with that?
Authorize use of the bottom land for placement
the
of the
bottom
bridge.
Line. But okay, I have my bad choice of words.
That's
but,
okay. I'm a stickler for
and,
particular.
It's already constructed.
Right.
And it can be used. I don't think the law says anywhere that one who builds a structure or uses the bottom land in form or fashion without approval from the designated entity is entitled to continue to use the public resource without benefit of the commission's review. So with or without a hearing, you know, this is the hard part. I mean, you've got the corner office and you've got the power, and
we're ready to hear it.
All right.
I mean, the request for the continuance is coming from behalf of your client.
I've laid it out, and I've taken more of your time on this than I anticipated, and
we're used to that.
Remove myself. Excuse me.
You got to say good morning today.
I did say good morning rather than have to change it. Good memory, Mr. Google.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Daniel. White Cloud 9 Ventures. Good morning.
Commission member, do I need to swear?
Are you an attorney?
I am not.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you God?
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Jennifer McLeod, and I am the general partner of White Cloud 9 Ventures Limited Partnership, which is a family limited partnership that owns this farmland. I'm the farmer that farms the land and developed a vineyard and a milking herd and chickens, and all we do on the property is farming. Respectfully, I would like to kind of go on the record as an objection for the attorney of the Piedmont Environmental Council to come in the asking of a continuance and speak for a half an hour trying to portray how complicated the case is and bringing up issues that are frankly completely irrelevant and not germane to the issue from my perspective. It is not a very complicated issue. There is a conservation easement. The easement is an agricultural easement. And I would like to say something that my attorney told me in writing. He said, the conservation easement upon which complainants rely is a private agreement under which the other party to the agreement is not only not present, but has previously assented to activities now undertaken, and that's Wetlands America Trust. They have sent two field audits in writing, and they have never objected and have made affirmative comment that the use of the land is in agreement with the conservation easement. One of the commission members asked, you know, was the PEC objecting to the bridge or objecting to something else? Well, frankly, and with all due respect to the PEC, this is not about conservation. It's not about being good stewards of the land. We have some of the cleanest waters in Northern Virginia on my land. I have 100-foot riparian buffers on 95% of the waterways on this property. The reference mitigation bank specifically has carved out water crossings so that the land can be used. I didn't even bring a copy of the conservation easement because it's not a matter before the commission. The present disagreement between the private parties is unfortunate, but has no effect on this commission's authority to issue the permit. And the Circuit Court of Loudoun County has rejected a motion brought to cease construction activities on the project. Moreover, none of the protesters who rely so heavily on the private agreement are parties to that agreement or can speak with firsthand knowledge about it. And I believe that was evident in the attorney for PEC not being able to answer practically any questions about the details of this. So this has been going on for nearly 18 months. And he talks about the sophisticated folks that are you know, knowledgeable about, well, you're looking at her. Yes, I am. Okay, I'm smart. Right. I'm not an attorney, but I can read the Code of Virginia. I was the vice chairman of the Virginia Wine Board. And I do stand up for my rights. And I believe that the easement we have complied with to the letter of every single element in the conservation easement. But I would maintain that that's irrelevant to the matter before the commission today. And I have come leaving my farm in the middle of our season to come and hear your judgment regarding the permit to build a bridge over the Little River Stream. So I would ask that the commission not agree to an extension. I don't believe that an extension is warranted, and I believe that, and again, with all due respect, but it appeared to me that the PEC attorney's lawyer, attorney was attempting to obfuscate and try to create a vision of complication when really there isn't much complication. It's pretty straightforward. I kind of take objection to the fact that he spoke so long and tried to get into all of the matters that he will again be telling us after the presentation by staff and my opportunity to speak. So I think that was out of sequence. You know, I understand that he may have just been engaged by the PEC, but the PEC wrote their objection letter in March, months and months ago. To me, this seems like a tactic to continue the delay and to use against me in the dispute with Ducks Unlimited that, you know, she doesn't even have a permit for the bridge. And I think you'll see from the staff report and from my follow-on commentary that there is extenuating circumstances, and I believe, hopefully, that you will approve this permit. I would be very surprised once you hear all of the facts that you would deny it.
Can I ask a few questions? Ma'am, if I could, I just want to make sure I fully understand the complexion of some things here. Do you agree that the bridge falls within the scope of the conservation easement, or is it outside the scope of the conservation easement in your understanding?
I believe that it is commented in the conservation easement, but it is a permitted use in the conservation easement.
Because I'm looking at paragraph, I know you don't have one with you, but anyway.
May I read an email from Ducks Unlimited to the PEC? The PEC has been trying to involve themselves in the use of my land. They do not have any interest other than a general interest in matters that occur in our area. And frankly, it's been my observation that often the somewhat red herring of environmentalism cloaks a true agenda, which is really a kind of elitist NIMBY, not in my backyard, they don't want to see change. And
let me see if Mr. Kugelman has more questions, and then we'll let you read that email. But
okay.
We'll need to get a copy of that for the record before you leave.
Well, yeah, the reason I asked whether you believe that the bridge, the footprint of the bridge fell within the scope of the conservation easement, is I'm looking at paragraph 3.3C of the conservation easement on page 10 from what Mr. Daniel handed up. And it says, no building or structure of any nature may be constructed or maintained on the protected property. And I'm looking at Romanet, oh golly, here we go, 5, within 200 feet of the center line of any perennial stream or pond on the protected property. Is it built over a perennial stream?
No.
What's it built over?
The bridge is, yes.
Okay, that's the question I have.
The building is not. And any of the any of the permitted buildings, which are farm buildings and structures, there's actually no limitation in the conservation easement. And I think you'll see in the presentation that all of the structures, activities are presently permitted, and that Ducks Unlimited has made comments in there, and I believe the staff is part of the staff report, that Ducks Unlimited field audit reports indicate that they are aware, they were informed about the bridge and the road to the bridge, and that they have ticked off that nothing relative that we have done to the property is impacting the property and is not in violation of the conservation easement. That's in writing. In response to the Piedmont Environmental Council's inquiry with Ducks Unlimited, Jennifer McLeod, the manager of Conservation Program Lands, writes to Mike Kane, the I think he's the president or the executive director of the PEC up in our neck of the woods. Hi, Mike. Thanks for your patience with us as we get the holidays, vacation, and the end of year rush behind us. We wanted to have discussions with Jennifer McLeod as well as our regional biologist who did the site visit. We also wanted to compare the agricultural easement with some of the local Loudoun County rural and ag zoning regs. At this time, we find no violations of this easement occurring at the property. This is an agricultural easement, and we found through our site visit and review of the easement language that the agricultural activities being conducted on the property are allowable uses that are consistent with the terms of the easement and do not materially impair the conservation values of the property. The property also allows roads to be built, and as far as we could determine, the roads on the property were being constructed using best management practices and do not materially impair the conservation values of the property. We appreciate your concern and the concern of Ms. McLeod's neighbors regarding the activities on Ms. McLeod's property. However, we have not found that any of the reported or observed activities are in violation of the terms of the easement on her property. As you know, language and restrictions in conservation easements vary depending on many factors. It may be that the terms of the easement on Ms. McLeod's neighbor's properties are more restrictive than the terms of the easement on her property. This may lead them to believe that the activities Ms. McLeod is undertaking on her property are inconsistent with terms that they are more familiar with in their own conservation easements. However, we did not find that any of the reported activities on the protected property rose to the level of a violation of the easement causing harm to the property's conservation value. Now, I maintain, yes, our dispute with Ducks Unlimited is in the courts, but it has nothing to do with the bridge over the Little River.
I want a specific question on that. Is that because the bridge itself is not part of the discussion in the lawsuit? It's only the structures?
That is their objection.
The other structures, I guess.
They're objecting to the building of a building that we maintain is in compliance with the easement. They maintain it's not. They attempted to enjoin us from building the building, and the judge spoke out on two points. He said that by the presentation of the parties, and again, this is hearsay, the decision isn't hearsay, the decision is knowable, but he said that the agreement does contain, in his view, ambiguities, and that the legal standard that Ducks Unlimited would likely prevail on the merits of their case when it goes to trial was not at all evident. And their motion was denied, and we are continuing to construct our farm building.
Okay.
Mr. Sessions.
So my understanding is that the bridge is not in the conservation easement, the structure of the bridge itself, and so that's not any part of the contention of the suit.
The entire property is under the conservation easement. The disagreement or dispute with Ducks Unlimited is not about the bridge. They've already indicated that that structure and the road to it it was built with best management practices. The Little River Stream cuts my property in two. Our intent that the most northerly fields are in a floodplain from that water source, and it's farmed for corn and grain. We grow triticale on it, and we intend to grow a heritage wheat, red fife wheat. I cannot get a harvester to that part of the property without being able to cross the Little River, because I can't have a 35-foot armed piece of equipment on U.S. Highway 50 down a dirt road that's only 14 feet wide in portions for the rest of my farm.
So the structures in contention are farm buildings?
Yes. A farm building.
In the litigation?
That is correct.
Any other questions? Thank you.
I might, if I could, if I could, in one last statement, and this maybe speaks to the general sort of conflict that can occur in these rural areas where people who have bought residences would like, it's just as if you had a house and there was a vacant lot next door, you'd really prefer that owner not build their house on the vacant lot. You'd like to have the vacant lot left open for your view shed. But the fact of the matter is, and I quote, and this is from Loudoun County ordinances, in the RR, AR1, AR2, that's Agricultural Rural 2, that's this district, A10 and A3 zoning districts, record plats shall contain the following statements. In all areas within the RR, AR1, AR2, or A10 zoning districts, agricultural and rural economy uses are the preferred land uses. Owners of land within RR, AR1, AR2, or AR10 zones are hereby notified that agricultural and rural economy activities shall be given preference by the county when conflicts arise concerning the compatibility of such farm or rural economy uses with adjacent or nearby non-farm or non-rural economy uses. The county shall not restrict or interfere with farming and rural economy activities in RR, AR1, AR2, or A10 zones. The farming and rural economy activities, including such effects as noise, odors, and machinery traffic, shall not be recognized or accepted by the county as valid or proper cause for complaints from adjacent or nearby residential neighbors. We're dealing with a NIMBY issue. It's kind of what we term the banana folks, the build absolutely nothing anywhere near anything. And that's what I'm running into. And that's why, in an attempt to try to make it this big confusing thing, oh, there's a mitigation bank and there's a... No. It's simply a question of, and I think you'll see from the staff report and you'll see from my testimony relative to the follow-on that I did everything that I thought was proper in the permitting. I did a 4-month floodplain study. It was completely permitted by the county, by Loudoun County.
Are you the only witness that you're going to have here?
Yes.
Today? Okay. All right.
Can I ask one more question, please?
Yes.
I think I heard from John, Mr. Daniels, that there's construction equipment going. What is going across the bridge now? What vehicles are crossing the bridge?
Vehicles that are being used to construct our farm building, our permitted farm building.
Okay. And agricultural equipment, combine, that type of thing?
Well, not yet, because we haven't started the planting out front yet.
But no other equipment that is going across there to build anything of parking lots or anything along
that? The only purpose the bridge has right now is to get to the front field for inspection from the south part, and to also come in to the south field from U.S. Highway 50, which is property of us.
Okay. All right. We're going to allow Mr. Daniel a couple of minutes of rebuttal, and then we will make a decision.
Thank you. I'll be real quick. And I only want to speak to the issues raised with respect to the point in the request for a continuance relative to the pending litigation. First, there was an injunction lawsuit, and for whatever reason, plaintiffs didn't prevail, but we often know that those are much higher burden than perhaps the lawsuits going forward. Comment was made to the required conservation reports under the easement provided by Ducks Unlimited, which she was accurate in the depiction, well, almost accurate. The first report was done on April 28, 2011, which predated the construction of the bridge, which by virtue of the application took place in August of 2011. The second report was done 4/12/12 after the date, and it indicates that under the question item number 10 in that report, potential threats to the property's conservation values, and the same woman who was just represented to you that said there wasn't any issue says incompatible uses on adjacent lands as a potential threat to the easement. Now, go to the email, and she submitted it. I assume she tendered it to you. If not, I'm happy to, because I anticipated that it would come up. She read it to you exactly as it was written, all the way from Hi, Mike, to Happy New Year, Jennifer. The only thing that was absent from that was the date of that report, which was January of 2011, which predates the bridge. So when these reports were done, the activities with respect to the matter before you weren't known. So the reports were as they were, based on the property as it sat without the bridge. So I just want to correct those couple of three things.
I have one question. If there's a continuance granted without any other action taken by the board, are you interested in that, or would you withdraw your request for continuance?
Do I have a minute? 30 seconds?
While he's thinking, may I comment?
Well, we generally try to avoid a not really.
In the court of law, you would not have.
In the court of law, the lawyers never stop talking.
If you can make it brief.
All right, very brief.
But come to the mic so we can hear you.
The biologist was made aware, and in that report, he stated that the landowner intends to build a road and a bridge, and there was no objection whatsoever to it.
Okay. Thank you. So your question, Mr. Plumlee, was?
Well, my question was, I would discuss the possible continuance beyond the date of the trial, and Mr. Daniel had pointed out that he asked for something in addition to that was stop usage of the bridge. My question is, if we don't take that action, are you interested in the continuance?
After consultation with folks, we are squarely on the horns of a dilemma. But if there is, if a continuance is granted as a continuance without other parameters to it, that's what we asked for, and we would be satisfied with that for today's purposes.
Okay. The matter is now before the commission. Thank you.
The only type of continuance I would consider is one that would extend it beyond the date of the trial. There is a declaratory judgment request, but it's being made actually on behalf of the applicant in the case. I don't see where the bridge is specifically referenced in the lawsuit, but because there are potential thorny issues that we're not apprised of that's part of the lawsuit, I don't think it would be unwise for us to continue without any restriction on the use of the bridge. There's only one witness to bring back after April. And so it's not a tremendous burden for the continuance. And this is an after-the-fact application. It's not preventing construction. It's built. If it can be used, then we're just maintaining the status quo until the lawsuit is resolved. So based on that, I would move to allow the continuance request until, I guess, the April session. Obviously, lawsuits aren't always
resolved on the date of the trial, and there are other things, but at least we can bring it back, see if it is resolved at that point, and take up the matter if it's appropriate and if everybody wants to go forward. So I would make that motion.
And in that motion, the applicant can still use it as...
Absolutely. There's no. It's built. There's no restriction on use, so that I would make part of that motion.
So the motion is to essentially continue to the April meeting.
That's right.
And it is seconded by Mr. Sessoms. Is there a comment on the motion? Mr. Tank?
Yeah, I'll have one extra comment. I agree with Mr. Daniel. It is a complex issue. These easements have their own languages, and I don't think it's up to us to figure them out, but I do think it's pertinent to what we do here today. I think also it's pertinent today is that the adjacent property owners apparently weren't notified, and so I think that is another basis for the continuation. I think that adjacent property owners should have some understanding of projects that are adjacent to them before they come to us.
Any other comments? I'm sorry.
It's not true. The adjacent property owners were informed.
Okay.
And they, one of which is a complainant, that the statements of the adjacent, I think that was misinterpreted.
Thank you. Ready to vote? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries unanimously. The matter is continued to the April meeting of the Marine Resources Commission.
Thank you all for your patience.
Seconded, Mr. Sessoms. Let's see, where does that bring us to? I think at this point we're going to recess for lunch, and then we'll come back and take up public comment and proceed through the remainder of the agenda. Thank you. We will come back at approximately 12:30.